Good day, everyone. And for this Digital Filipino Talks episode, we have the Digital Influence Director of MRM Worldwide, Ms. Elaine Uy. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, good morning.
Elaine, I'm curious, what is a Digital Influence Director?
I always get the same question whenever I present my business card. Digital Influence Director is basically a PR division, a PR title in Macan, okay. In MRM. It handles all social media or digital marketing in terms of promotion and crisis management for the clients that we have in the agency.
Mm-hmm. For my understanding, MRM Worldwide is into digital PR.
Yes.
For the benefit of our audience, how do you differentiate traditional PR to digital PR?
For me, traditional and digital PR have the same concept, you know, the same mindset of how to promote and how to make people aware of certain projects or campaigns. The difference is in the medium. So when traditional uses press releases, the newspaper, the magazines, the TV, radio, the digital PR uses the digital medium where people converse. So you have the social media, you have the Facebook, you have the search, you have the Twitter, and amongst other things. So that's a difference in terms of reaching your target audience.
With the premise that everyone is now media, they're saying that because of that, we now should look into digital PR. But of course, people do it for two reasons. Either they do it for awareness building, and and some do it for crisis management. But apart from these two, are there any other aspects that we should consider? That's why we're venturing into digital PR.
When I say digital PR, as you said, it's broken down into two. It's either you're launching something new, you're trying to revive some of an old campaign, or trying to resolve certain issues online. Because online is very... it has a very open communication and engagement platform. It's either it's easy to reach their target and converse about it, or you try to manage what's being said about your company or your brand. So the basic digital PR is using the medium to actually connect, and what is the content that you wanted to connect. So it's basically just two things: brand awareness, building affinity, or trying to resolve something.
But right now, you see so many brands trying to use social media, blogs, and the likes, just to introduce themselves. So how do you now stand out with almost everyone from a sole proprietor to a person promoting a blog to a company promoting a brand? How do you stand out? How do you make yourself outstanding amidst the noise, if you want to call it noise?
Correct. I go back to the first question on what is the difference between traditional and digital, which has the same concept. It goes back to the idea. It goes back to the virality of your campaign, to what is the value proposition of what you're telling them. Because in traditional media, you see all the commercials, you see everything being talked about there as well, being featured, spots, segments are being bought as well. It is the same now in digital media, where Facebook is now very, very popular in the country. Brands having their own fan pages, trying to communicate. It goes back to what is your idea of your campaign that people would really want to share or want to talk about and be affiliated with that content. Case in point, you have the Max Eat All You Can Chicken we had last year. Mm-hmm. It is, they launched it digitally at first, and because of the great idea of you can eat as many chicken as you want for that kind of price, people will just share and share and share. So it goes back to what is the cons. Like, you cannot just have a product and say, I'll go build a fan page and people will come. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. It you have to go back to the idea and then use the channels to actually seed on that idea, and the idea should take you where you want it to be.
And when companies use social media for awareness building, mm-hmm. So a few companies also hesitate and fear that they will also open
True.
A Pandora's box.
True.
To the point that I recall in Facebook recently, somebody uploaded a customer complaint saying that there's an insect found in the dish that he or she was eating. But instead of doing the formal complaint, he or she immediately went on and started writing to bloggers, creating a Facebook account, and starting posting all of this stuff online. And for certain, this is a nightmare for a lot of companies.
Correct.
So, what is your perspective on this? Is that to be taken lightly or not to be treated as so much of a big deal? When can you say to a client that you can shrug it off, and when do you say you should take action?
That is a very, very good question. It's very tricky to know when to take it offline and when to take it online. But you should never take it lightly, because of digital people, it's easy for people to get access to that certain content. Even if a blogger blogs about like that insect, it happens all the time. People, you know, when you eat, you're so frustrated that you write about it because you feel that you want to be vigilant in telling people to boycott this restaurant, amongst others. So what you do is you see the weight of the matter. So if you see that the person that blog quite influential, you try to take it offline first. As much as possible, you take it offline, because you don't want a battling ground online where people can read through the comments, because you invite more and more people to participate because it's too public. You try to take it offline first. You try to converse with the person if what you can do as a company is how any customer service should act offline in their stores. That's how you also deal with things online. But if the situation is too high profile, that people demand a public apology, people demand something else, then you're forced to do it online. And when you do it online, there are certain protocols that you have to follow. Like you try to answer the situation without posing a question or having a person on the other end try to ask you another question. You try to settle it, like in any PR crisis management, you address the situation, you propose a solution, and then you end it. That's it. You don't try to engage more. You don't do that anymore when it comes to crisis. So that's where you stop. But at the end of the day, you should always attend to it. You don't take it lightly, because even you do searches, even if it happened 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when one searches for that particular incident, they would chance upon that blog site. They would always read and go through that history. You wanted to resolve it as much as possible. Drown it with more blogs if you want. You try to, that's case in point in SM. Price difference, people, they try to reach out to certain publications and they wrote about it, tried to explain their side. And when you search on the issue of the price difference of SM, you see that there is a blog that's originated, you know, the whole situation. And then there is a feature,
a response to that.
And then when you're a consumer, so innocent about the topic, and you read through it, and then you have your own opinion. Now you know that both sides of the story, and it's up to the person, as a matter of fact, because you cannot delete anything that's been uploaded on the web, but you can actually manage it.
What tips or advice can you give to companies who would like to get into digital PR for awareness building or for managing their reputation online? What are the things that they should remember? What are the things that they should not underestimate?
Okay, number one, don't get into digital if you don't have anything to say.
Okay.
That's number one, because you don't want that. Because it's also complicated to go into digital, come up with a very comprehensive content plan to be able to engage. Because the reason why you're going into digital is you want to engage them. And if at the end of the, like in the middle of your campaign, you have nothing to say, then you have a platform where people keeps on engaging, then you will get yourself in trouble from, you know, because there's a lack of planning, there's a lack of conversation, then you end up people just talking about other stuff, trying to sell their cell phones or whatever within your fan pages without any management. So number one, you do not go into digital if you're not ready. You have to be ready. You have to accept the fact that there you might encounter a crisis along the way, but that's inevitable. It would happen. Even if you run a promo, there's a claiming of items, people are dissatisfied with the timeliness of it all, they would still complain. People complain. That's the bottom line. It's just that when they complain digital, it gets bigger, easier than they complain, you know, in your customer service section or what have you. But number one is you have to be ready. Number two, you listen. You do a scan of digital and see what the people are talking about your brand. try to see if there is a market to your type of product, mm-hmm. and then assess if this is the medium that you want to take, and okay. then you ask if you identify that this is the medium you want to take, then you have to be sure you're ready and you work with the right people, with the right partners, for you to be able to launch a long term and a short term campaign.
Okay, so I guess I have to ask you some personal stuff right now, just okay. to make us relax a bit more. what is your favorite social media platform?
Well, favorite in terms of sociability, hence social media, of course it's Facebook, because all of my friends are there. It's easier to actually get chismes from, okay. and all of those stuff. And because of my job permits me to actually be lurking around every day and trying to see what's there. Facebook is one of the, like, games, you know. It's games and chismes and messaging all in one.
Yeah. Okay. What are your plans for this year and also for MRM Worldwide?
Personal plans?
Yes.
Yeah, I plan to try to relax a bit, try to take more vacations if I could. For MRM is Makan Relationship Marketing. 7 months ago, 8 months ago, I'm new to the company together with my managing director, Donald Lim. MRM, before we came in, is a CRM division, not so much into digital. So when we came in, coming from a digital industry, we tried to actually build a digital segment or portion of Makan. So we've been pitching nonstop for the last 7 months, and I've counted, it's 40 pitches in 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot. We won some, we lost some, but 2011 is really execution. So you see more and more of the brands that Makan would be introducing online, such as Coke, BPI, to name a few. So we're very, very excited, and we're pitching some more. So we hope to get more accounts in 2011.
Okay. So all the best to you and MRM Worldwide, and
thank you,
look forward to your project executions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.